Unmask the Heart is the theme of the BCC's year-end giving campaign. The trials of 2020 have revealed many things going on in our hearts, both the worries and fears we have, as well as who or what we worship. Our prayer is that these trials will draw us closer to God and closer to one another, and that is at the heart of what we strive to do at the BCC.
You're listening to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition. 1514 draws its name from Romans 15:14, where the Apostle Paul encourages the church that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm your host and the Executive Director of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, Curtis Solomon, and I hope you enjoy today's episode.
Welcome to today's episode of 1514. It's a pleasure, as always, to have you listening. Really appreciate you taking time out of your day to listen to the podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition. Today, I have with me a guest from across the globe down in Brazil, our first international member of the Board of Directors, closing out our History of the BCC series, Sasha Mendes. Sasha, thanks so much for being with us today on 1514.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Sasha, I know we've interviewed you before on this podcast, but it was quite a while ago. So for those who don't know you or didn't have a chance to hear that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Sure. So I am Sasha. Sasha is actually my nickname. My real name is Alexandre Mendes, which stands for Alexander Mendes. So I go by Sasha, no problem at all. Sometimes I even forget that I'm not Sasha, at least formally. I am a pastor here in São José dos Campos, Brazil, and I've been married to Ana for almost 13 years now, and we have three children, Pedro, who's 11 years old, Chito, he's 7 years old, and Marina Helena, she's 5 years old. That's pretty much of our family. So we've been together for quite a while, and it's been a great journey. At least for me, it seems like a very good journey. That's it.
Yeah, no, that's really good. I hopefully one day we'll get to meet your family. I've wanted to for a number of years now, and we're of course hoping to all be together in the Dominican mm-hmm. Republic next week, but 2020 is upon us, so that's not going to happen. We're recording this in early December of 2020, and we just found out a couple weeks ago, or just over a week ago, that Dr. Jay Adams passed away. So I've been asking my guests recently, if you don't mind sharing maybe a little bit about how Dr. Adams impacted you, or a brief memory of him and how he's influenced you in your life and ministry.
Sure. I had an episode with Dr. Adams, like a personal relational episode, which was pretty funny. I got the chance to participate in a meeting that he was attending as well. And as soon as I got there at that place, I saw him on the side by himself. So I recognized him because of the pictures and et cetera. So I went to talk to him. And are you Dr. Adams? And he said, yes, I am Dr. Adams. And who are you? And then I said, well, I'm Sasha from Brazil. And then he asked me, from Brazil? I said, yes. Did you bring Guaraná? Guaraná is a soft drink here in Brazil. And I said, no. So you just can go then. We don't need you then. And then he started laughing. And then we had an incredible, good conversation, just informal, very sweet man. Mm. And so that was my personal interaction with him. It ended up that I was able to get a couple of cans of Guaraná for him. And we became just buddies at that conference, you know?
Yeah.
It was pretty fun to interact with him. But as far as his ministry, I mean, his writings really impact my soul, confronting me. Even before I even dreamed about ministry, I was getting confronted from his writings. And I was really impressed in how broad his writing ministry was. Mm. I mean, he, of course, through the years, I believe that the movement grew a lot, but he wrote about a lot of stuff. I mean, there is no ever, you know, there is no topic that he didn't cover at least a paragraph or two, or maybe more, a book, you know?
Yeah.
He was an incredible gift to the church, to the modern movement of biblical counseling, and great man. Great man.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been reflecting a bit on his life and sharing with other leaders. And I would share the same, I think, with you, because we're around the same age. And it's just encouraging and I think inspiring, because he first published Competent to Counsel when he was about our age, when he was, you know, around 40. And it's just incredible to see the impact that one person's life can have in that last 50 years, you know. And he even stepped out of public ministry about a decade ago. So yeah, just an encouragement to you and to all of us to really try to make the most with the life that God has given to us and see what.
Wasn't it you that wrote a post saying that his first book wasn't even to be published at all? I mean, almost like an accident, wasn't it? I didn't know that. I thought it was really cool.
He had shared just a story with me. It's funny. I have a short video clip of it. Jim Neuheiser recorded and just said, he said, yeah, I didn't intend to publish. It was just supposed to be a text for my students, but it was all smeared up because it was on, we kept running off of a mimeograph. And
yes.
So it was an interesting story. And that's why, that tribute, I've really said, he wasn't out to get published or get famous. He was just out to be faithful and just a good call for all of us to do. Well, this episode, as I mentioned at the intro, is the last in our series on celebrating the 10th anniversary of the founding of the BCC and looking at our history. So can you tell us where, when, and how you first became aware of the Biblical Counseling Coalition?
Sure. I was an intern at Faith from 2007 to 2010. So I remember some of the staff meetings that I was part as an intern, that Steve Vyer started to asking questions that led to the BCC, addressing the needs that led to the BCC, and how he intentionally worked to create and to build relationships that helped to create the BCC. So I saw some of the events that led to the birth of the BCC as an intern. And it was really cool to see the movement from the needs that brought the idea about, you know.
Yeah.
That created me some values, just helped me to come back to Brazil after I got done with my internship, just to this mentality that we need to work together. I mean, of course, there are levels of fellowship, but we just need to work together. I think the kingdom when we work together. So that was my first exposure to the BCC. And then I came back to Brazil in 2010, in July of 2010. In August of 2010, a month later, Steve Vyer came down to Brazil with Faith Team. And then we had the second Biblical Counseling Conference and also a meeting with the Biblical Counseling leaders in Brazil. And then he shared the story. And then at that time, the BCC was not a project, was not an idea in a meeting. It wasn't almost like an organization already.
Yeah.
And so he shared much of the BCC. And then I learned a second lesson about the BCC. I mean, if there is no need for that, it's not going to exist at all. So one thing that I appreciated, the birth of the BCC in the U.S., it was a project of a need. And that need, it was a process to be aware of. So I knew that in Brazil, I need to work with help people to be aware of the need to work together.
Yeah.
So it was a need to see, well, that was not the time. And I believe that now we are in a good time to consider something like this or to stimulate people to participate in the Biblical Counseling Coalition in general. So that was how I got exposed. It was through my internship, and I appreciate everything that I was able to witness by God's grace and to see some godly men and women to work their differences, their relationship, and to build something that I believe is very special.
Oh, that's really cool. I didn't realize you had been there in those meetings that early on and getting to see it really come about. That's really cool. So when did you actually, because you're on the BCC Council and then now you serve as a member on the board of directors. How did you get, when did you get on the council and how did that happen?
Well, I got on the council, I think 4 years later, 2014, if I'm not mistaken. And then I was able to see, for example, and to talk to Steve Vyers maybe twice a year in person, because he would come to Brazil and different places in Brazil to ministry. I was his most common translator. So we would chat a lot. And I was asked all the time about how's the BCC going, how's the BCC going. And he would just share how the ideas got developed through the years. Mm. And then I remember once that he asked me about, do you believe that the BCC should go globally? Mm. That was his question. I don't even know if his question was attached to any movement towards my direction and in the board. And I say, I just replied to him. I said, I think it's only if it's a true coalition, you know, if it's a true coalition around biblical counseling values, it has to go globally.
Yeah.
That's what I believe. And then we chat a little bit more, and maybe 1 year or 2 years later, I receive an invitation by, I think, Bob Kellerman, asking me to consider to become a part of the council board. And obviously I said yes. And then 2014, I think, was my first retreat. And I was truly amazed with everything that I was able to witness there and the relationships that were being built and the challenges that have come with those relationships. You know, it's something that we have to work with. We don't have to anyway. So it was a blessing. So that's how I got involved.
No, that's really great. And I appreciate we'll talk in a minute about the global side of it, because that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you about that is seeing the ministry grow into that role. But how did you were the first international member to become a member of the board of directors? How did that come about? If you joined in 2014, how long was it till they said, okay, we're going to put you to work?
Well, I think it naturally developed because of the Global Summit. In 2016, we had the Global Summit.
Yep.
And the most special part of the Global Summit was the 2-3 hours discussion that we had, sharing different opportunities in different countries that were there represented.
Yeah.
And John, at that time, asked me to ask all the internationals to do some sort of a SWOT analysis, What are some of the strengths that you have in your country as far as biblical counseling, weaknesses, opportunities, etc. So I wrote mine based upon what I'm seeing in Brazil. And after we got done all the people sharing those kind of things, we were just amazed on how biblical counseling was the instrument to unite us and to further not only biblical counseling, but the gospel, you know?
Yeah.
And I believe that was a really remarkable time for the history of the BCC. And after that, I don't know what happened at the BOD. I wasn't part of that time. But a couple of months later, I received an invitation to become part of the BOD. So, and then I said yes, understanding that my big cooperation would be just to be an international presence on the table and to give different insights or something around it at the same time that I'm learning how the Biblical Counseling Coalition works and how the BOD thinks and how I can, if possible, serve in the best way. So that's how it happens, the BOD thing. And since 2016, so that's how it happened.
Oh, that's really good. And thanks for highlighting the Global Summit. I didn't even send you a question about that, but that's a good thing to talk about. Actually, this month, too, we are giving away the video content for that online to free to anybody who wants to jump on there on our Vimeo channel. You can watch all of the plenary sessions and a number of the panels that were recorded there in 2016 and check out that great, great resource. You participated in that. You were on some of the panels and stuff. What was the David Pallison really was excited about that summit, and we were supposed to have the second one this year, and really described it as an historic event where it was the first global gathering of international leaders in biblical counseling ever in that way. What was the experience like for you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember that sharing a little bit of what's happening in Brazil at that meeting, right after, and in the first break, right after we got done, let's get a break, David Paulson came in my direction, and then he starts sharing some thoughts about my thoughts of what's going to happen in Brazil. And he gave me a description, maybe a philosophical, methodological description of what's happening in Brazil as far as the advancement of the movement that I was just able to describe, but not even think through it. And I'm saying this because one thing that I thought was really, really nice at that global summit is just to see how each nation, each country, or should I say each language, that's the real barrier for our attempts at language.
Yeah,
we're in different stages of the biblical counseling movement. And we were able to see that clearly, you know?
Yeah.
And I was able to share that biblical counseling was a reality in Brazil. Biblical counseling training was a reality in Brazil. Biblical counseling training seminaries was already a reality in Brazil, but we didn't have writers. We still don't have good writers thinking about biblical counseling in the perspective of our own culture and language.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So that's probably the last step to have a biblical counseling movement that is mature.
Yeah.
So we were able to identify where Brazil is. We were able to identify where Romania was. We were able to identify where Germany, different countries represented on the table, and just to see how we can work together and to offer different things, you know?
Yeah.
I remember in a certain time that one of the people around the table just said, well, we need one another just to hold one another accountable as well as far as our thinking process. If you're going too far, if you are developing in the wrong way. So for the first time, I was able to realize that I'm here not only to learn, but also to help somehow to progress the movement as a whole, you know?
Yeah.
So that was really neat in the Biblical Counseling Global Summit, the BCC Global Summit. And also just to hear different stories, you know, it was so encouraging, you know? It changed the culture, it changed the language, it changed the accents, but the heart problems are still the same, and the solution, Jesus Christ and his gospel, is still the same. So that was really encouraging.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Well, it encourages me and inspires me to get this next one up and running as soon as we can. And I think that's really helpful because, there is so much that is similar, but you actually pointed this out in one of our meetings too. We were planning the global summit and thinking about how to connect people regionally and other things like that. And you said, you know, it's not always regional that we need to gather. Language wise is really a big thing. So, 'cause like French, you know, you have the French Canadians, they're not close to France or other French speaking countries. Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of those in Africa as well, but getting together linguistically, maybe more so than regionally. That was just really helpful. One snippet of really helpful insight that you brought. And we've had other international council members who've said they really appreciate the fact that our international members have just as much a voice at the table as everybody else. They're not subpar. Mm-hmm. They're invited to the leadership table, to really, like you said, sharpen and advance the movement together. I've really appreciated having you in the BCC before I was even here and just getting to know you through that.
My name is Jane Kratz and I'm a biblical counselor working at a young, dynamic and multicultural church in Johannesburg, South Africa. I am also the co-chair for Biblical Counseling Africa. I am responsible for the Soul Care Ministry at Hope Church, providing care and counseling for people in our congregation, and more importantly, equipping and training others to be involved in biblical counseling. The Biblical Counseling Coalition do an amazing job of collaborating with people, ministries, and parachurch organizations from all over the world to strengthen the work that they do in counseling faithfully and with excellence from the Bible. By supporting the Biblical Counseling Coalition, you get to be a part not only of making their mission, vision, and passion a reality, but also for the ministries that they partner with and serve. As someone who is working in a country where biblical counseling is still in its infancy, I am so thankful for the monthly e-source I receive in my inbox, as well as for the access I have to all sorts of other free resources, podcasts, and book reviews, which I can access and use in my ministry, but also share with the people that I am caring for. You will receive far more than you give by partnering with the Biblical Counseling Coalition, so please do consider giving to them.
As we think about in the international voices, why is it so important that we do have international voices in the conversation at the table in biblical counseling?
I think there's a couple of different ways, and I struggle with that question since I joined the council. You know, what am I bringing on the table? I mean, when I remember the first retreat that I participate, and I look around those tables, and everything that I knew about biblical counseling, I learned from those men.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not bringing anything new, you know, as far as content, but I'm bringing a different worldview. I'm bringing a different experience. I'm bringing a different story, personal story, and a cultural aspect that is different. And it helps us to see the same thing in different ways. And as I reflect upon, for example, Ephesians chapter 3, that we're going to know the love of Christ with all the saints, there's an element that we expand our vision of the love of Christ when we interact with different people. Mm-hmm. Because we see the same thing in different ways. We see the same thing in different ways. And that's so rich. That's a very rich experience. So it might be that my contribution is not going to be a new content or a new insight, but it's just going to be a different way to see the same thing. It's going to expand the movement, you know?
Yeah.
And we can say this for every single different culture, every single different individual. So I believe that the exchange of experiences, the exchange of the same thing seen in different ways are so helpful to expand our vision about the things that we love so much, you know, about biblical counseling and the sufficiency of scriptures. I don't know if I was able to communicate well what I'm thinking through, but that's how I see that this is very important. And that's why I believe that the BCC is one of those instruments, because it is a platform of relationships.
Yeah.
We're just going to learn how to do relationships, and we do it differently. I mean, we do relationships very differently, but as soon as we understand that one of the things that we are is a platform of relationships, we're going to be intentional about it, and we're going to grow through it. So I believe that the BCC is a very important element to expand globally that. And the 2016 Biblical Counseling Global Summit was a key component for that. I think we all got that at that time.
No, that's really good. And yeah, I think so many people still don't see that relational aspect of what we do, because it is, in some ways, obviously the council summits and the council, it's a limited number of people. Not everybody gets to participate in that. But I think we see the fruit, and others have described the fruit of those relationships comes downstream and later on, both through resources, especially collaborative resources, but also through the expansion of the ministry globally. And I think the sharpening that we do with one another, it does affect. I think we all leave those times together changed and grown, sanctified, and we minister differently because of the sharpening that we have had with one another there.
So. Oh, I agree 100%. And those things are hard to measure.
Yeah. So as the fundraiser for the ministry, it's very hard to measure.
Yeah. You know? So now we need something very specific to measure and to see if this is going to be efficient or not.
Yeah.
Relationships are not efficient. You know, sometimes they're just like a crazy, they work in us, but we're different. And then we impact different people.
Yep.
I mean, I'm serious about the different mentality that I came back from the U.S. after just absorbing two or three meetings that they were discussing Biblical Counseling Coalition. So I came back to Brazil very open to work well with people that were already doing ministry, you know?
Yeah.
So how do you measure that? You just don't. I mean, you just recognize that and believe it, and that's it.
Yeah, no, we do, and we just press forward and try to seek to be faithful to the Lord every day that He gives us here. Mm-hmm. So how, I think you've kind of addressed this a little bit, but maybe are there any other ways that you've seen how the relationships that we've helped foster have advanced and have grown the biblical counseling movement?
Yes, I think the networking or the net ministry, whatever, you know, it's a very important element. I mean, the relationships and the conversations that we have in December are very key, for example, for different conferences that happen around the world. Mm. I mean, you went to Mexico, right? You went to different places outside of US because of relationships that you foster at the BCC. Yeah. I was able to enjoy a lot of speakers down in Brazil because of the BCC. And so I believe that the first obvious element is just the networking, the net ministering that helps to further those kind of projects and to understand how they can be a blessing to one another, you know?
Yeah.
And also you got to learn different people that are publishing different resources. All of a sudden you're plugging one writer to one publishing company in Brazil, willing to translate his material, and that's how it goes, you know?
Yep.
So those are some of the things that we see that it's happened those years. And also net ministering, you know, like, for example, I have a friend that is going to Europe and he doesn't know where to go to church there, you know, or a member of my church that is going to Europe, where he's going to attend as far as church. Mm. I'm going to look for a church that has biblical counseling convictions that says a lot about that church already. You know?
Yep.
So I was able to connect with different people, for example, in Europe, and to get different churches and to plug people in places where they can get the real gospel and et cetera. So,
yeah, no, that's good. Sometimes you just don't even think about all of those impacts that that those relationships bring about, and it's really good. It does grow. It really grows your family in Christ just to get to know. Get to know more people across the globe. It's really exciting. What do you see as some of maybe the significant hurdles or challenges that are facing our movement as the BCC moves past its 10th anniversary and on into the future?
Mm-hmm. I think every single generation needs to get some definitions down. You know, mm-hmm. I think sometimes we have a lot of obstacles. You said hurdles, right? Hurdles?
Yeah.
Hurdles because we have different definitions about key concepts of biblical counseling. So I think every single generation needs to learn how to communicate that, how to set the boundaries of that, and how this is going to come to an application at the end. So I think the biggest challenge is always going to be communicating well and to thinking well and to... learning how to work together. So I would say that that's the biggest thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's a good word because I think it can sometimes, I know I've had, I mean, I've had very explicit conversations about this where some people say, you know, we've talked about that, we've decided that, we've done that already. But it's important, like you said, with every generation that we make sure we are maintaining or restating a strong stance and conviction on those central tenets of biblical counseling. So, yeah, we need to be reminded of that. Kind of like Peter said, you know, sometimes we need to be reminded of the basics, the fundamentals. Yeah. So, very good. Well, what excites you about the future of biblical counseling in the BCC?
I think we have the platform to. We have the platform, we have the mentality, we have the mindset to become the perfect environment for those definitions to be discussed, to be debated, to be defined, and to work together with them. I think if you think about that maybe two decades ago, I don't see a platform that we could do this, you know? Mm. Now we have one. And we should not take this for granted. and to really have open conversations and with patience and with patience, you know. It takes so much. It takes so long to understand what a what someone believes. And sometimes we just assume because of one sentence or a paragraph that it was said under certain circumstances, not saying that that's not significant or relevant, but just we need to see the larger picture, you know. As soon as I came back to Brazil, I came to be part of a transition plan, succession plan, to become the senior pastor of a church. And it was a long, it was a long-term plan, like 5 to 8 years, or maybe it's not long-term for some of us that are listening to us, but at least for me at that time, it was a long-term, you know? And it was so rich, so much of learning experiences to work humility and to understand that to know someone and to love someone, it takes time. It just takes time.
Yeah.
And sometimes we biblical counselors, we know that. We tell people that, especially in marriage counseling situations. Yeah. But as far as learning to work with one another, we just don't have that patience, you know?
Yeah.
And we should. I think we should. I think the gain is bigger than the work that we have to understand one another and to work with one another. So I see the challenges, and I see the great opportunity, the platform that the BCC is to discuss those kind of things and to learn with one another. We need this.
No, it's
the world, more than ever, the world today needs to see an organization that knows how to work with polarization.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
More than ever. More than ever.
Amen. Amen.
That's
preach
a gospel
it.
Opportunity.
It's so true. Like you know, that is a big prayer of my heart, is that we would be able to be an example to the world of how people who genuinely have serious disagreement about important issues can still come together in Christian love and discuss those things and talk about those things and work towards the common goal of bringing glory and honor to Christ and lifting up his kingdom. So yeah, may the Lord grant his favor on that request of ours for this organization.
Sure. And without being naive too, you know, that's not letting loose our convictions or abandoning the truth. Not at all. I mean, it's just those things go together.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the word for patience there, sometimes I feel like it's a greater challenge because of the speed of information and change in our society now, but Paul was writing to the Thessalonians a couple thousand years ago, be patient with all. So how much more do we need to hear that encouragement? It takes time. Relationships, important decisions take time.
I had a professor, and as soon as Twitter came out, I asked him, what's going to be your tweet account? And he said, oh, I'm not going to get in. I said, why not? And then he told me that I don't have anything that it's worth it, that it fits under 144 characters. Then I was surprised with his answer, you know? And then Twitter changed a little bit. He died. I believe that he would change his mentality, but I got his point. There are certain things that do not obey our media, that doesn't fit our media.
Yeah.
And Christian communication, Christian growth, and Christian maturity, Christian unity, you will not respect the speed of our era.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's in a different mode. You know?
Yeah.
So Christian unity is going to be different.
It is. It's weird. I mean, we want to operate in the world and not ignore it, but we also have to understand. I tell students, I tell people this all the time. There are certain things you can't, that require long form communication.
Exactly.
That you can't say in a soundbite. And I think about the letters that were written between theologians and pastors across the ocean for couple of millennia, and then you even think about the New Testament itself. Those are long letters that would have been hand carried, and the patience of going back and forth with communication like that. It's very different than today. I'm not saying we need to go back to that, but I am saying that there are certain things that are not going to be communicated in
the same way.
200 whatever characters you get on Twitter or in a soundbite. So, well, brother, it's always, really encouraging and stimulating conversation. But we have a segment at the end called 2 Minute Favorites. Are you ready for this?
I think I am.
All right, let me start the timer, and here we go. What is your favorite food?
It's my wife's chicken stroganoff. It's excellent.
All right. Favorite word?
Favorite word, grace.
Least favorite word?
Disgrace.
What's your favorite color?
Gray.
Favorite sport?
Basketball.
Favorite sports team? Weird.
That's favorite sport team. That's my soccer national team here in Brazil, São Paulo.
Favorite gift you've ever received?
Oh, that was a trip that I got from my parents to go to the U.S. with my family. That was something that I wasn't expecting at all, and was a gift.
Favorite gift you've ever given?
It was a basket of goodies that my wife and I were able to make for a couple of friends, and it was something very simple, but just the making the process of making the gift was very, very, very encouraging for my wife and I, and just to interact with that couple.
Yeah, that's good. Favorite candy?
M&Ms.
Favorite book of the Bible?
Ephesians.
Favorite book outside of Scripture?
Trusting God by George Bridges.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Chocolate chip and cookie dough.
Favorite Bible verse?
Colossians 1:28.
If you could have any superpower, what superpower would you choose?
Speed.
Favorite movie?
Any Star Wars movie. I just like it.
Favorite. If your mother were to describe you in one word, what word would she use?
Good mood.
All right, brother. Well, that wraps up our time together. Thanks so much for being with us on 1514.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of 1514. If you'd like to know more about the ministry of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, you can visit our website at biblicalcounselingcoalition.org. You can also contact us at podcast@biblicalcc.org. Special thanks to Carrie Felton, our podcast producer, who arranges and coordinates these interviews, and James Wills, our podcast engineer, who does the sound editing and makes these episodes sound so great. I thank you for being with us again, and hope you can join us next time on 1514.